So he's a head and seller and a cattle and a horse trader.
But he wasn't. The king of them all was a guy called Alec Gamble.
No, he wasn't.
He was the king of them all.
You wouldn't have thought that. Look at him, but
Alec Gamble had again. Ken can correct me if I'm wrong. He had two butcher shops. At least two anyway.
Two in Coalco Renfrew, one in Port Stewart was three, one in Port Rice was four, and one in Castle Rock was five.
He was the first person in Northern Ireland to bring in the iron lung. Remember that? To bring in the iron lung because he had one of the daughters wasn't well, and he was able to buy the iron lung and bring it on.
Those were the funny something at Cattle Drover.
One Dunham Miner and the drink got the better of him, and one Dunham Miner this and one Dunham Miner that, and he ended up as a cattle drover.
But so he had an empire and he ended up.
Oh, he still has a family in the town, like a very respectable family they are, and so was he.
Boy.
He was a gentleman.
But you said you wouldn't think it to look at him. What did he look like?
He was. They
come along to.
He but just had abused himself.
He gambled nearly at all. He was gambled by men.
He gambled by nature.
Yeah. And he had money when
nobody had money. That's it. Nobody had money.
And he just went down and down the hill. Yep. But as a drover, there was none could have matched him at droving cattle. He could have brought them on himself.
Those
ones that we chased in the mornings. He brought them in sedately, like he brought them into the yard. Mm. Everybody wanted that like cattle as a drover.
There were cattle drovers. It was a big thing in those days. Mm-hmm. A cattle drover. Mm-hmm. That was an occupation. Mm-hmm. It really was. But
he was the king.
Fergie Taylor. Donnie Martin.
We down.
James E. Love. And they were all.
That's right.
And drink, methylated spirits. No, and lay behind a hedge. Lay all night behind a hedge. And get up in the morning and go over to a horse trough in the road. Mm-hmm. Lot of water and off they went. Hardy boys, I'm telling you. He was lying on Bridge Street one day. Out in Fergie, he was that drunk, he collapsed with the metal in his purse. And James E. Love was lifting him up. He says, Love lifted me.
So he'd be well known in the market, yeah.
Oh, aye.
What other characters can you remember?
Characters, you know,
maybe
town.
The generation now that we have.
This town was full of characters.
Full of characters.
Certainly was.
Big John McNeil. He was a farmer out in the country.
I have a big hand, I know him. His hand was like pram wheels. I was the nearest to Scott. I ain't never seen as big a man in my life. And he pumped me up there, you know.
He had hair up.
Aye.
And he had a farm out there, out the Garda Road.
Kilcrow.
And he would have come in, and he had a pullion trap.
Mm-hmm. And
Lumpy Tim, he drove the trap.
He did, that's right.
Lumpy Tim, and he had a withered hand.
He had
and
a gummy leg.
And he drove the trap. And Big John, he...
What are you doing?
Big John, he just got pulled.
This is a picture of the one on sitting in the trap.
This one's about 22 one. Stone weight.
And he was a big man. He had been away in Canada and he had joined the Mounties.
He was actually the man of place.
He would have just hit you a book with his fist as he would look at you.
Mm-hmm.
And Lumpy Tim, when he got full then, Lumpy Tim could have managed him the best.
He was good.
I remember him outside your shop up there and he came out of Anderson and Stewart's pub plaster. Lumpy Dunn was over. Moan John. And the curtain away.
That's all
Lumpy Tim had to do. And Lumpy Tim was a bit smaller than me, was 5 foot north.
5 foot north was right.
And this Big John, he was over 6 foot.
Well, he was a big, big man. He was.
He was a character. Like,
you remember the day we were on the bus? We were going to.
I can write a book about him.
Hugh Douglas was the bus conductor. And everybody, you always had your driver, Jim Linus normally was. And Hugh Dirtis was the conductor. And Big John was sitting in the bus with the seat, you know, fill the seat, your shoulders. He'd the farm round the Port Rochelle. But anyway, he kept looking and said, I can see this one here with a big feather cap. And just sitting up at the front of the bus. And then all of a sudden he says, and that you, Mary? And who, oh, Mr. McNeil? He married yet, I am indeed Mr. McNeil. And he married yet, Mary? No, Mr. McNeil. So see, do what the canaries do, change the cock.
He was vulgar.
And this, oh, yeah. this rattling through the bush, and this woman's face.
He was just vulgarity, nothing like it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't care what he said.
That, two monkeys.
He used to say, but the daughter, and the daughter's a wild woman too.
Olive
was wild. And him and your man, what do you call him? Hazel, out there, she was giving John a bad time, and John, he says, he went to Big John, he says, what, John says, what am I going to do here? And he says, do her and John and I'll hang for the half hour.
I hear her, sure, and I'll hang for the half hour.
That's sweet. I missed
that. She'll hang for the half hour.
I hear her and I'll hang for the half hour.
This is true. He was standing at the bus stop at Royce Road. And the bus stop, you see, and he went to get in, the conductor says, sorry, Mr. McNeil, he says, no room for you. He reached up and called the conductor, set him out in his arse and said, there won't be room for me. Now you hear you. And pulled the bell. Isn't that right?
He called everybody.
Oh, my.
I hear you. Remember, one time he was up at the station and Dan Christie was there.
That's right.
You were with me.
I was.
And the big square up at the station there. And he met whatever happened between
the two. It was over the heads of dog.
It was over the heads of dog.
Of course.
And he waited in the train coming in. Mm-hmm. And Dan Christie, he was in there at the time. Like, a big man he was too.
Well, that was a big man, he was.
And he just, as he came down the steps out of the train, Big John just went over and felled him.
Felled him.
And the whole crowd was all gathered round, like to see them fighting. Mm-hmm. But there was no fight. John just felled him where he stood. No police or nothing.
Over the heads of a fox terrier dog there.
And then, do you mind, there was, over there, there was the hotel.
Corpus Arms, aye.
And there was this wee man, and I'm sure you're with me too, Ken. And there was a pub there, and Big John almost came out at. And this day he came out, and there was a wee man, a wee broad man, you mind his name too, Ken. And he had been in the army and all. And Big John came out with a fist going. Mm. And this wee man just walked over to him. Just nailed him and John down.
Mm. Why,
that wee Tommy come along and pulled him under the couch.
Was that? I tell you, I think I know who that wee man was. Was that what, he was an Adams, wasn't he? Rowley Adams, I think it was.
Very long. Very long.
Rowley Adams. I didn't email him.
He just, and he was my height.
You're talking about characters, but Eddie McNutt was a famous character on the other side there, over the band, the old side.
Really?
No, it's already, I don't mind
and the Indians, it was the early stages, the Indians come to Crow Rain with the ship.
Who was that?
Oh, I remember.
They called him now Eddie was a docker in the younger days down at the harbour here. But anyway, he sold Eddie a suit. No money down, but he was calling weekly for the weekly payments. But every time he called, there was no Eddie. Till eventually he got Eddie. Mm-hmm. And he said, so many weeks, he says, I have got you done. He says, you owe me so many weeks. And Eddie said, I'm sorry, I have no money. What? He said, are you aware, he says, that you were naked, he says, and I clothed you. That's right, Eddie says, and you were a stranger and I took you in.
is great.
You're back in the market. You're back in the market yard.
Oh, this is great.